Well, good afternoon to the general officers and their spouses, to the community leaders who are here, to Jim and Carla Hogan, who I know are with us, to the families, that some of whom traveled a long way to be here, Division Association, all our veterans, Marines and sailors, and family and friends. Thanks for being here today. So I don't think anybody came here to hear the MEF commander talk, so I'm going to just try and make two quick points. First is the history of the ceremony that we just witnessed. The passing of the battle colors of the 1st Marine Division, and with that, the accountability and responsibility, as we like to say, for everything the division does or fails to do. And the greatest honor and privilege for any officer is the opportunity to command. Now, the mantle of command at the 1st Marine Division probably warrants special awareness. Our largest, most powerful, most decorated division. Division with a long history of success in battle, history that is buttressed by a long list of awards, citations, and achievements. And today we see two generals passing command who follow in a long line of legendary commanders of this division. Men like Holland Smith, Vandergriff, Twining, O.P. Smith, up through the modern day of Conway and Mattis. Legendary Marines whose legacy those of us that wear the uniform today and command this division are bound to uphold. And then finally, when we pass those colors, most importantly is the responsibility to the Marines, the sailors serving with Marines, and the families that serve in this division. And make no mistake, we take that responsibility seriously. So that's number one, the significance of the ceremony. Number two is really just an opportunity for me very quickly to recognize two great leaders. I'll start with Dan and Ronnie. Three of their sons are here. I'll thank the family for what you have done. You know, I don't think you ask. You're sort of born into the family business, if you will, in this case. But we know the sacrifice that it takes for a family to support a career like your father's. So thank you, and please pass that on to the rest of the siblings. I'll single out Ronnie for what she has done for the families of the division. So Ronnie is thoughtful, she's dignified, and she's as committed to the Marines and the families of this division as Dan is. And she goes about her business without fanfare and with great grace. And I thank you for what you have done for this division during Dan's command. And then Dan, of course, I think the commandant, somebody stole my speech. But so just a couple points about Dan. So Dan has really led the transition of the division, if you will, and refocused the division on a peer, near-peer threat. He's challenged the leadership in this division through professional education and through his warfighting summits. He's developed, really, with his post-deployment training continuum, a methodology that accounts for the tempo of our Corps today and accounts for a manpower system that, frankly, is having a hard time keeping up with that tempo. And what he's done with our combat readiness evaluation, improving our force-on-force training, reigniting our suburban training, employing new technology, really has allowed the Marines in the division not just to prepare for today's deployment, but really to prepare for tomorrow's enemy as well. And he's done all that really with a passion and a compassion that is second to none. And for me personally, it has been very rewarding serving alongside General O'Donohue. And I think there's probably a lot of Marines in this audience who will tell you we're better for having had the opportunity to serve alongside him. And personally, I look forward to watching Dan rise through the ranks and likely continue to lead our Corps for years to come. So, Dan, thanks very much. So for Eric and Trish, so Eric, no stranger to the Blue Diamond. I have some time as neighbors with Eric and Trish. I had the opportunity to serve together in the 2nd Division when he was the G3 and then a regimental commander and then a RCT commander in Afghanistan. And I know what Trish will continue to do for the families. I'm grateful for the support, Elise and Travis, what you've done for your father during his career over the years. And Eric, you know, I'm not going to say that you will take it to the next level because I don't know where you're going to take it. But I know you'll capitalize on the momentum that Dan has achieved. I look forward to serving alongside you, and I'm going to be proud to watch you write the next chapter in the history of this glorious division. So welcome aboard and congratulations.
Welcome. Welcome all on this glorious day as we honor the 23,000 Marines and sailors in 1st Marine Division. Change of command speeches are rife with hazard. The handicapping on Phil Lang was that we get an emotional effect from that hardened warrior. And I think the way it was described was bubbling. All right, can't have that. And so with 4 controls to this. First, in your program, there's a dedication. And if it doesn't come out in the words, it's in that dedication past the fold about what we stand for and what this change of command means. Second, I can't possibly honor everybody here. You see magnificent Marines in front of you. There's real combat power under these awnings and on the fringes. And I can't name you all. I would ask you, hey, at the back end of this, it'd be an honor to shake your hand, or even more so, share a beer at the reception. The third control, I might forget somebody and yet another counseling from the CG1MEF, but there's actually a fatal move if I forget my wife. And Eric, when I pass the microphone to you, kick me in the shin if need be. And then lastly, there are words that can't express what it means to be in 1st Mar Div. Many of you know it, many of you serve. There's a lot of Semper Fi and Blue Diamond in this audience. And if anything can express it, it's the 1st Marine Division Band. And music, and they present in music what words never can. They were just yesterday got the trophy as the best band in the Marine Corps. That's fine. What matters to us is the opinion of those who went before, Mattis, the Marines in the ranks, the fact that the bookend that award, they got a citation for having aggressed the Commandant's Experimental Battalion 3-5, and they can just as readily drop the saxophone and pick up the M16 and go to the field. There's no other band like that in the world. And if we just please, a round of applause for Chief Officer Wire and the band. In appreciation, General Corporato, thank you so much for the opportunity to command. Hey, for the command team and 1MEF, Sergeant Major Castle, a legacy of valor and honor that you be here today. Command Master Chief Dominguez, Colonel Russell, no better place to serve. The focus on combat, hey, the support that we get, and the MAGTAF field that we have, no better place to serve than 1MEF. The Marine Corps' only fully scalable meth. What that means, if it goes in a big way, we go, and what a team. And my only regret is that Eric has got more of a chance to take it than I do with the 1MEth team. Talk about that intangibles and what only music can describe. You talk about the Marines in front of you, young men and women who joined the toughest service at a time of war, if not active war, certainly not peace, with that pure warrior heart, to a cause higher than themselves, for shared sacrifice, and the fellowship that only comes in the brotherhood of war. Every day in Blue Diamond is full of passion, and one day, you know, you get what some people get in a lifetime. Some are privileged to get a glimpse at the human heart. One day, as the CG of 1st Mar Div, is that hard look at the warrior's heart, for which I'm forever grateful. These Marines and sailors are absolutely magnificent in what they'll do, the hard training. They're getting more junior. Combat veterans are fewer and more senior. And these Marines want to prove themselves. They want to put a whoopin' on that threat that is so manifest today. Enough enemy out there to make any Marine happy. And they think they want to prove themselves, and they have nothing to prove to me. They have the same warrior heart as those who fought in Bellawood, Guadalcanal, Iwo Jima. They're 86 Medal of Honor winners within 1st Marine Division. With General Vandegrift in that epic fight in Guadalcanal, we had nothing. The Marines, in their typical sense of humor, called it Operation Shoestring. But they had that warrior's heart. And what he said in 1945 was, seldom in history have so few with such valor sacrificed so much in lives and hard training and combat for the cause of freedom than the men of the 1st Marine Division. That they're the essence of Semper Fi, the essence of First to Fight. And the Marines today are every bit their measure. They're ready to go. A lot of questions about readiness today, testimony. And we'll argue for every dollar we can, for ammo, for training opportunities, for maintenance to go to war, to buy down that risk for these Marines. But these Marines have that Guadalcanal readiness. They're ready to go. It's our job to lower the butcher's bill. But these Marines will perform. They'll accomplish a mission. This is Marine time. This is 1st Marine Division time. Most prepared when the country's least prepared. There were two elements of guidance. And again, General Mattis, Secretary of Defense Mattis, so succinct. No better friend, no worse enemy, 1st Marine Division. The other one was hold the line. And these Marines, as the Commandant, is building 2025 and trying to buy down risk for this force. The expectation for 1st Mar Div and the expectation for Eric and the reason he was selected was to hold the line. We'll come out of the locker room. We'll defend this nation. This divided nation will unify on these magnificent Marines and sailors, and we'll hold the line. And the nation will catch up. The risk equation's off. You see it in all the testimony. The country knows it. It's going to be a contested fight. The next fight will be harder than the last. We're going to be challenged in every domain. But these Marines will prevail. They are absolutely ready to go to war. There's a relationship here between the Marines standing behind me and each one of you. And I'm going to use the analogy of the Greek phalanx. And I just ask you for a minute to kind of picture the Greek phalanx. Maybe you have to reach back to the movie 300 or whatever kind of crazy idea you got about the phalanx. And there's a word a company gunny might use about the phalanx in terms of how closely they fight. I'll spare you that in the presence of ladies. But this is a tight, tight formation, right? And the Greeks, when you went to war, the young men were forward, the men you see behind me. But men didn't leave the ranks, right? As you got older, you go into that second rank. I feel it coming, you know? But each one of you has a role in that phalanx, and each one of you is part of that juggernaut, that steel that's going to go forward. This country so weary of war and wishful for peace, we know the nature of the enemy hasn't changed. And it's this group, and it's this phalanx that I'll talk about. And I'll build it. First and forever are the fallen, who we owe so much to, and I want to thank the Hogan family, Jim and Carla, for the actions and the heroic actions of your son, Lance Corporal Hogan. And there's that phrase, man hath great no has no greater love than this, than to give his life for his friends. And again, the legacy of valor. And I've never seen it, the valor of a son, Navy Cross, so matched by the love and courage and commitment of his parents. And you are the guardian angels of the division. You're always here for us. Those who give so much, always amazes me how much you give. And I can't thank you enough. Please, a round of applause for the Hogans. We'll not let you down. We'll never let Donald down. And we'll never, never forget. There's a spiritual aspect to this. Not so sorry, not the F-35, you know. And I don't know how you calculate the combat power of a captain, father, Bill Devine. But I know General Mattis brought him up in the inspiration in the march up. And Father Devine, I can't thank you enough. And then in your footsteps, Father Kavanaugh Wallace, thank you for your leadership for our family. Thank you for your spiritual pastorship for the Marines that come and go through your parish. The lead ranks, the reconnaissance, the Marines forward, the tripwire. If they get in a fight that they can't handle, the rest of this Marine will come, this Marine division will come and unleash the vicious harmony of violence on those foes. Fred Fredrickson Ford, Lisa, where are you? Thank you for what you do. Thank you for the 8 months in, I think, to the deployment. It doesn't take a lot of Marines, just a few to put the steady in their hands, to assure our allies, deter our enemies, and be ready for any contingency. And can't thank enough Fred for his leadership, soon to be home. Colonel Bill Vivian with the Special Purpose MACTAF, Lieutenant Colonel Eric Clark, and the sun never sets on the 1st Marine Division. Move to the Pacific. We've got Lieutenant Colonel Jackson Dome on the 32nd MEU, and I know that we've got Mrs. Dome is here today, and again, thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. Lieutenant Colonel Brian Middleton out there with the Special Purpose MACTAF, and then we got Lieutenant Colonel Brendan Sullivan, who's ready to set sail across the horizon for whatever. The reconnaissance out. The first line of troops, the Marines that you see before you, ready. Herodotus, who knows something about Greek phalanxes, if you don't, a Greek philosopher, he said of the 100 in the fight, 10 shouldn't even be there. 80 are just targets. 9 are the fighters. And there's the one who brings them back. In the Marine Corps, we're just fighters, right? So this phalanx that we're building, so much better than what Herodotus built. We've got 1% who serve. Of that 1%, there are about 4% in this profession of close interpersonal combat. General Mattis understands that no strategy will work unless you have men and women who will close with the enemy. And he's counting on us, and they will hold the line. These are the best of Americans, and it's such a privilege to serve with them. Their leadership, sergeants, majors, master guns, staff NCOs, the NCOs who lead them so well, who teach them how to do the near impossible, all part right up there in the phalanx. We never make an uncover move, and one of the professional and personal joys of here is working with the general officers who represent the MAGTAF. Can't thank you enough. We get no better support from 3rd MAW. You are right with us. There's a modernization of the mall that's undergoing. There's a maintenance issue. Quite clear, your priority is air ground integration. I can't thank you enough. Dave Ognon and no more magnificent MLG. Logistics creates the rails of maneuver. When we're in the field, you're in the field with us. I've never seen such close support and so deeply appreciated. Bobby Shea, MEF headquarters group. So the story of the future and the story of now is distributed MAGTAF capability at the lowest levels. Thank you, what you've done with all those assets and pioneering the way of the future. Paul Lebedine, thank you so much. Thank you for what you did in Afghanistan. Thank you for what you did as a brother, a division commander. It means so much you'd be here today. Stretch. All right, we'll be clearing halls in the Pentagon again. Hey, to have that close relationship with you, again, it's been just fantastic. Thanks to you for covering the waterfront. Thank you for all the example that you set. Thank you for your counsel. Deeply appreciated. Joe Schrader, hey, quite clear is the support from Marcor Siscom that is palpable since you've come in. We feel the push and support from the supporting establishment. An honor that you'd be here today. The base, the fifth element of the MAGTAF, Kevin Calais, taking care of our families, supporting our training, getting us deployed. What an honor. Meet Borg Schulte, blue diamond on each one of your helicopters at MAG 39. And I know there's a blue diamond in your heart. It means a lot that you're here. Ian Clark, thanks for everything you've pushed at the station. Hey, for the colonels served in combat, Colonel Wortman and Colonel Nugent, many thanks. Always an honor. Retreat hell. The veterans, these are the ones pushing that phalanx, right? There are so many sergeants majors here, we're going to have no problem with that formation. Sergeant Major Benfield, Sergeant Major Long, Sergeant Major Simmons, there's enough leadership out here. I can't thank you enough. We have representatives from the Chosen Few, Montford Point, and the 1st Marine Division Association. I just ask you to stand for our applause, please. We stand on the shoulders of giants, and we will not let you down. Hey, for the families, are you sharing this? What a great outpouring from the Smith family. Great to see you. Share your strength. For friends, for the families here, the Tucker, the Shugs, the Poros, thank you to the Pinches. Thank you so much for coming out. Thank you for all the support you've given us, Ronnie and I, as we've served in this command. For the community leaders, just when I came back to command, hey, would the community be tired? I think the country might be, but not Oceanside, not San Clemente, not Dana Point. And any formation we've got, any phalanx, with the likes of Maxine Russell, the Dana Point Association, Cynthia Martinez, James, and Carolina Brown, fantastic support for us. You shared your support for these magnificent Marines. Thank you. Wayne Eggleston, for the community leaders and the political leaders, thank you so much. This is the part where I forget my wife. Okay, again, I can't thank everything what you do. I'm just going to talk about one thing, a center of gravity, right? And if you don't know what that is, have a Marine explain to you. It's your source of strength. And for me, there's one geographical center of gravity, a certain place, right? And I can give a 10-digit grid to it. This is the hill at Horno. Hey, what Marines are about is will and that trust that feeds it. And at Horno, there's a cross. It's a Zembek cross. It's put up by the line of Fallujah. It's put to honor those who died in the initial conflicts of this war. Three of those crossbearers who went up to that height were subsequently killed in action. There was an Air Force captain who decided, hey, this was too close to religion. He's an atheist. And he said the cross needed to come down. I can forgive him for confusing hey, the bond that we have with our Marines that is so close in that camaraderie for religion, I cannot forgive him for underestimating Marines. This wasn't solved in the court. This is what there are now. Crosses across those ridgelines. Marines put it up, and they gave their answer. The courts eventually affirmed, and I think it was irrelevant, hey, to how the Marines felt about this. This is a special place. Went up there this Memorial Day. With my wife and kids, and I want to thank John, Mark, and Peter. You share in all the honor, courage, and commitment. Thanks for who you are. They went up. And Ronnie as well. Typical Marine story, farther than she thought or was told, and she made her way up. And on that way, there's no formation, hundreds of Marines just going up that hill. Gas masks on, every gear they could go, put on. You got one Marine just exhilarated, not realizing he's talking to his division commander, saying, wouldn't it be great if we could hike drunk in every hike? And in command, there's that wonderful potential for jackassery that just makes it fascinating. So each in his own way, trying to figure out what it means to be a warrior and trying to find it at that peak. And I just use that as an allegory, 34 years. Climbing that peak, right, hands and knees, 34 years every step, beauty and grace, 7 kids to raise, well done. Can't thank you enough, the heartbeat of our family, my heartbeat. Thanks, Ronnie, for all you've done. Okay, Eric, this is your cue. It has been a personal and professional honor to turn over 1st MARDIV. If there's anything almost as intimate as marriage, it's passing on a command. Every day in this command has been a joy. It's been a passion all the way to the end, and to the high honor and privilege of passing this on to you. You've been picked for this special moment, this command, at this inflection point, this transition point where we're not as ready as we want to be, but this division is going to be most ready under those circumstances. What a great honor to transition with you. Your sweat, your blood, your leadership is already in the combat record of 1st Marine Division. So excited for you. In the second rank, not getting your way, whatever support you need, brother. And Trish, great to have you on the team. Hoorah, Semper Fi. Thanks.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and again, thank you for being here. My goal today is to be brief. That's the job of the incoming. The outgoing commander and the team that he built for the last 2 years is what we're talking about today. So I will forego the formalities, and I'll forego the protocol with the permission of General Caprata, who you always got to watch to make sure you're not getting the cross eye from General Caprata. Sir, with your permission, I'll forego some formalities here. You so rarely get a positional advantage over Dan O'Donohue that when you do get one, you got to take full advantage. The least comfortable person that I think I know in the Marine Corps to receive praise is Major General Dan O'Donohue. And so when you get an opportunity to talk about the team that he has built, and he would not want to say this is about me because it's about the time, the last 2 years, that is the 1st Marine Division, that in the mind of General O'Donohue will always be the 1st Marine Division. It's that time period. It's these faces you see behind me and the faces you see in the crowd here. That is the 1st Marine Division. It's tattooed on his heart. But he is in charge of it. And as General Caprata said, he is responsible for all that it did and for anything that it failed to do, which is nothing, by the way. So this is a day when you honor Dan O'Donohue. And again, when you get, and he would say, stop talking. He's giving me the look right now, but I actually don't have to obey that, even though he's a two-star, because I've got a microphone for just a second. And I would like to have, with your forbearance, I would ask one last time for everybody here to give a blue diamond, a true blue, and that means a meaty, forceful blue diamond round of applause to the team that is the 1st Marine Division, which Dan O'Donohue is at that front phalanx, even wants to be out even forward with the scouts. Dan is in the front rank because that's how he leads. So a round of applause for the O'Donohues. Very briefly, and I will adhere to the don't attempt to go around the room because you will forget someone. You know, you'll forget to mention someone. So I'll thank all of you for being here today to support this division. It is your division. I will tell you that for General Caprata, sir, I understand the mission. I understand that we are supposed to produce Marines of character and honor, go to the fight that is coming, that is brewing now, and win and return with our honor clean, and we'll do that. Simple as that. We will do that. To all those who came from locally and from far, I really appreciate you being here today. In all candor, I sent out the invitations. Margaret, our excellent protocol officer, said you can send them out. And I sent them. I thought it was kind of like a wedding deal where you send it and you didn't think anybody would really come, but you hope they'd send a gift or something. But I actually had a whole lot of folks show up from my family. So I've got a house full right now. And I really appreciate you being here. And I appreciate the support. It means a lot. I will not forget to mention now, because I'm looking right at her, is my wife, Trish, and my children, Elise, Travis, and Hadley. I am very, very grateful. And my mom and pop, thanks for raising me right. I really appreciate you being here. You're a great source of strength. For all those who are here, please remember to support this division, because the cost of not doing this right, as General Donohue said, the butcher's bill is higher, and we don't want that, because what we don't want is to have to stand and applaud families who are as exceptional as the Hogans. We don't want young Marines like Donald to have to be placed in a situation where, although willing, he has given his life for his friends. We hope that never happens again, but if it does happen again, we have to be ready, because we are honor bound that when a Marine of the caliber and character of a Donald Hogan looks down and looks back at his division, it should have maintained the standard that he set on the roads around Sangin, and that is a high bar. So I would remind both the Marines standing behind me and all of you that this is about war fighting. There are storm clouds brewing, and for General Caparata and all those gathered here, we understand the mission, sir, we'll be ready to fight. Thanks for coming, and everybody, please enjoy the rest of the day, and please take a minute to come and meet people like the Hogans, people like your previous sergeants major of this division. Please take a moment to come see them, and I think you'll see exactly what General O'Donoghue was talking about in this art, we could go to war with a Swiss Army knife, and we're still going to win. That's what Marines do. That's who this division is, and it's not going to change. And I understand the capabilities, and I understand the responsibility, and I'm proud to be here. Thanks for allowing me to be the newest returning member of the Blue Diamond, Semper Fidelis.